Job chapter 13, there's a verse there. And Job, if you understand the passage and what's going on, Job, and I like studying about Job. One of the toughest things he went through was dealing with all the problems that Satan had thrown at him. And now his so-called friends were verbally beating him up. I mean, he wasn't getting any encouragement from them at all. At one point, he calls them miserable counselors. And I like this one statement, and it says, starting with verse 1, and it says, "Lo, mine eye hath seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But ye are forgers of lies." He's calling them liars. He's saying, what you're telling me is not the truth. And look at this last phrase, and it says, "Ye are all physicians of no value." So I've entitled this message, "Worthless Doctors." Any of you guys ever come across a worthless doctor? You've gone to a doctor for this ail or that ail, and when you leave, not only has he cost you money to go see, not only has he given you a prescription, sometimes you even have to miss work to go, and then what happens? You go back home, it didn't solve anything. In fact, he's cost you money and you still got the same problem. Let's go to Mark chapter 5 from here. This lady that we're going to be reading about has the same problem. And she has an issue and she needs somebody to help her. Now, I understand there are certain situations where the doctors get trapped to where they can't give out the medicine that you really need. And it's getting worse on certain situations like that because they can't control the wrong people getting it. So they're going to keep the right people from getting what they need. I'm not going to get in on that. That's politics playing games. But anyway, here in this particular passage, we see that Jesus is on his way to heal a little girl. The man came to her and he met the man. The man said, "My daughter's dying. I need you to come talk to her, heal her." And so on his way, he runs across this woman. Actually, he doesn't point her out until she reaches out and touches him. Let's stand in honor of the word of God, starting with verse 25 in Mark chapter 5. And it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing of in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But this woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your many blessings. And Lord, we ask you to move in a mighty way. Lord, I thank you for this illustration, this actual true event that took place in the life of Jesus while he was on this earth. And Lord, we just pray for you to let your Holy Spirit move in a special way here. Lord, we admit that the preacher has nothing special except Jesus. So, Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to control what's said and done. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Here in this particular passage, I look at this and it prompted me, like I mentioned a while ago, from Job chapter 13. And he's talking about the physicians of no value. And you and I know in our world today, there are a lot of those guys around. Some of them even pretend to be doctors, pretend they have doctor degrees. Now, I have a doctor, but don't come to me for healing, okay? It's in the Bible where I studied got my doctorate. But the thing is, what I want us to understand is there's a difference when we come to somebody and trust them and try to get some help from them. There are certain things they can do, okay? But there are certain things they cannot do. They cannot bring about healing that comes from God. And a lot of times we get caught up in the fact that we expect a miracle to take place when we go to a doctor, when we've got a serious problem, and only Dr. Jesus can take care of it. And so what happens is this woman, she's smart. I want you to think, how many people that were thronging Jesus around? There was a crowd all around him. Everybody was trying to get as close to him. They were touching him. They were doing all these things. He was probably having to work his way through the crowd. The disciples trying to push him aside to get him through. How many people touched him? But there was a difference between the touch of the crowd and the touch of the woman. In our world today, we've got a lot of people that talk about Jesus. I drive the city bus and I hear people talking about Jesus all the time. And the truth is, there are a lot of people that say they know Jesus. But the truth is, they know about Jesus. They don't really know Jesus. Knowing Jesus is a totally different aspect. The truth is, when you know somebody, I know of George Washington, but I've never met him. Never had a conversation with him. I know about him. I know who he is. But you know, when I get in my Bible and I talk to Jesus, he talks back. Amen. Through the Word of God. I have to have a conversation with him. He has to give me insight on what to preach and how to preach it and how to apply it to my life before I even think about preaching it.
Amen.
There's a big difference between talking about Jesus and talking to Jesus. There are some people I've heard on some of these talk shows. Now, if it's a show that you like, I'm going to apologize up front, but I do not like sitting watching whether it's men or women talking about the events of the day. They're just gossips, and that, first off, is not entertaining. Second of all, it's somebody pushing an agenda. You don't hardly believe they're talking about something that they haven't rehearsed ahead of time and haven't been given a script. This is what we're going to talk about. This is how we're going to approach it. You're not going to be talking favorable about this person. You're going to be talking favorable about this person. You're going to slander this person over here, because that's all right. I heard one time on that, I'm going to go ahead and call it TV show, The View, that a particular woman on there, I wouldn't call her a lady if I had to, but a woman on there, in the fact that she said something about, and they were making fun of our vice president's faith. And they were making fun of him that not only does he talk to Jesus, but Jesus talks back to him. I'm going to be honest with you. There are people out there that don't understand. They don't understand that they can have a real, honest-to-God relationship with the Creator of the universe. I talked to him this morning. I talked to him last night. I talked to him while I'm driving. I'm going to tell you something. You get out there on that crazy highway, you better be talking to him. You better ask him for help. Because there's crazy people out there. There's a difference between talking to Jesus, talking about Jesus, and knowing Jesus. You've got to know him. This woman here, she wasn't like the crowd. There's a lot of people in this world that they think that the Lord's blessing them because things are going their way. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are two places for blessings to come from. Job did not get blessings from God. He got curses from the devil. Okay? It wasn't curses from God. He was actually being blessed, and Satan had to come to God and ask, "Give me a chance, and I'll get him to curse you." And God allowed Satan to have that freedom to come against Job for one reason: to prove to Satan there's somebody that loves me, and it's not because of my blessings.
That's right.
I want to tell you something. That is where we need to be.
Amen.
Blessings or curse, knowing Jesus and knowing who he is, knowing he walks with me and he talks with me. And I'll tell you something. That's what makes the difference. It has nothing to do with the blessings. Now, the blessings, I'll be honest with you, what my wife and I were talking about, and I've shared this in the juvenile detention facilities. I've mentioned this before, but it applies here. Those kids, they would get upset because the judge wasn't fair to me, or my case manager wasn't fair, or whoever it was, the staff member at the facility wasn't fair to me. And I told them, I said, "Well, let me explain something to you. Life's not fair." I mean, that in itself is going to help you. If you expect life to be fair, you're going to be sadly disappointed. But life's not fair. Why? Well, I've messed their head up a little bit by saying this. I'm glad life's not fair. They said, looked at me funny, like I'd just grown a horn or had my nose coming out of my forehead or something, you know, it's crazy. And I said, let me tell you something. If life was fair, I have to go to hell because I'm a sinner. If life was fair, Jesus does not go to the cross because he didn't deserve that. He went to the cross on my behalf and everybody else's behalf so that we could go to heaven in spite of the fact of us being sinners. So with all the other things that life's not fair about, I'm kind of glad life's not fair because I get to go to heaven.
Amen.
Even though I don't deserve it. And I want you to know, Job was understanding in the fact that he didn't understand to start with. He knew he had not crossed the line with God. But that's what he was being accused of. I want to tell you something. Be careful how you counsel people. Because sometimes there are three things that I've found that bring trials our way. Sometimes it is that we're being disciplined by God. Sometimes it's just a part of life. It rains on the just and the unjust, what Scripture says. But sometimes God lets us go through something
that is neither part of, is not part of one of the other two. It's something that he's preparing us for in the future, because he knows what you and I are going to face, and he knows what we need.
Amen.
He doesn't give us the toughest trial first. He gives us a gradual trial. It's kind of like a bodybuilder. If they're wanting to lift weights, you don't lift weights all of a sudden and try to get up to 250 pounds and you haven't lifted anything before. You build yourself up. That's the way God is for, with us. And what we see here in the scriptures is this crowd, they were touching Jesus. But you know why I think they didn't get anything special out of it?
Because they didn't believe.
They didn't have the faith. You're right. And they just touched him over. If there had been cell phones then, they'd have been taking selfies with Jesus. Hey, look at me. I'm serious. It was just a big popular thing. Hey, we saw the man. He's the greatest show on earth. It's all about the fact that they wanted to be close to Jesus. But it wasn't anything about them believing in who he was.
That's right.
It wasn't anything. This woman, she had faith that would probably pass the rest of the crowd combined. I mean, here she is, and she says in her heart, she says, if I just touch him, I know he can heal me. Now, I want to ask you, where'd that faith come from? Because she had seen all the doctors that she could possibly see, had spent everything she had, and nobody had helped her. Actually, she was getting worse. Where did that faith come from? I believe that she had heard some friends talking about, well, that guy, they talked about Jesus. I'd seen him the other day, and he healed a leper. You need to go see him. Maybe the word got out that to her that somebody told her that Jesus healed a blind man. Oh, the other day, you know as well as I do, word got around. Otherwise, it wouldn't have a crowd there.
That's right.
Oh, the other day, Jesus healed a man with a withered hand. And I believe she got to talking to God, saying, oh God, I need some help. Oh God, I need to know what to do. And I believe her talking with the Lord, that built that faith up to know, I'm going to go see Jesus. You see, there are times in our lives when we all go through crises. We have a problem, whether it's health, whether it's family, whether it's financial, whatever it might be. But there's one person, only one person, that has the power to help, and that's Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
He's the one that'll reach down and help you. I like the fact that the disciples didn't even know what took place. It all happened, and there was only two people that knew what happened. Jesus, and all she did was touch the hem of his garment. She didn't actually hit him. Said she touched his cloak, his coat, his robe, and he felt power, felt the power, healing power, the healing virtue go out of him. Now, it's interesting to me in the fact that not only did Jesus feel the virtue go out of him, but also the woman felt the virtue come into her. She knew she was healed. How does that happen? I mean, all of a sudden you know you're healed. Hey, she had touched the Master. I want to tell you something. When you touch Jesus with your faith, when you reach out and touch him in a mighty way and say, Lord, you're the only one that can help me. Lord, you're the only one I need. I don't need anybody else.
When you do that, Jesus will not, by the authority of the Word of God, Jesus will not disappoint you. He has power, all power, according to Matthew 28. He has all power. All power for what? Doesn't matter. Whatever you need. We sing the song, He is able to deliver thee. But I like the three words, He is able. You fill in the blank, He's able. Whatever you need, He's able. Whatever you're struggling with, He's able to help you through it. He's able to get you by. He's able to meet your need. It doesn't matter what you're going through. And we all have these problems. As we get older, and as I get older, I understand the aches and pains that my parents and grandparents felt. I get them quite frequently now. I think it happens that way because the Lord, as you get older, you're looking a little more forward to going home, getting that glorified body. You don't feel like you can run a mile. But guess what? It's all about who He is. Amen. And you trust Him. I don't care what the problem is.
Oh, I'm not saying I don't care, but the thing is, it doesn't matter what the problem is. He can handle it. One of the things that we struggle with, Sharon and I have some health issues, and it takes a lot out of us to do the work that we do here for the church. And there's a lot of things that are done. For instance, I don't normally say much about it, but for instance, on Saturday nights, I'm putting the music together. Now, praise God for Miss Squadell. I appreciate her playing the piano. That way I don't have to make sure that all the music's up, but I make sure it's on here just in case she gets sick. But I'm also printing the bulletin. We've been doing that since we started the church in Parkville 2009. We send out newsletters pretty much every month. Been doing that since before we started the church in 2009. And I'm not saying anything, but the more pressures we face and the more struggles we have physically, the more taxing it is. And you know who gets me through? You know who gets her through? You know who's going to get you through what you're going through? It's going to be Jesus.
Amen.
Don't trust the crowd. I often wonder about this. I bet the woman, after she met Jesus, wished she had gone to Him first.
Amen.
Amen.
She wouldn't have lost all that money.
No.
I want to tell you something. You and I are the same way sometimes. We don't go to Jesus first a lot of times. We just try this thing and try that thing and try this person and that person and say, well, nothing worked. I'm going to go to Jesus. Why don't we go to Him first? But I like the fact you realize that Jesus, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but Jesus was actually on another task. He was on another mission to go heal this man's daughter. And I'm thinking, what's He thinking? I wish He'd hurry up. Why did He stop the crowd? Why is He talking to this woman? My daughter's getting sick. She's getting worse by the day. Or by the minute. And I wish He'd hurry up to get to my house. And then right after this moment when Jesus talks to the woman, here comes somebody from the man's house and says, your daughter's died. Don't bother the master anymore. And Jesus says, nope. Don't listen to them. Don't be afraid. Only believe. You see, it doesn't matter the situation. Why was it Jesus was delaying with this woman? Because He cared for her too. There's nobody he doesn't care for. But he was also not in a big hurry because he knew the little girl was going to die. But he was going to raise her up anyway. It's no big deal. Hey, he gave life to her to start with. He's the one that can put it back. He gave life to you too, and me. He's the one that keeps our heart beating. He's the one that gives us a breath. He's the one that gives us a purpose in life. I laugh when I hear about all these foolish people saying, oh, what's the purpose of life? Hey, guess what? It's to serve and please the Lord. Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. It's all about Jesus. And it does not please him to try to punish us or for people to play games with who he is. How many of those people were trying to get close to Jesus just for political purposes? Hey, I hear people all the time, oh, we want God's blessings on us. God bless America. I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe President Trump says that trivially, because he's been working in certain areas to help God bless America. And one of the things is he's not talking trash. He's doing what he said he was going to do. He's actually doing what other presidents said they wanted to do, but never had nerve enough to do it. And that's to put our embassy in Jerusalem. That's where it needs to be. That's the capital of Israel. Oh, I know that's unpopular. Oh, that's politically incorrect. Hey, I'm not a big political correct guy. I'd rather be scripturally correct. Amen?
Amen?
It's all about who God is. It's all about who Jesus is. And the crowd's going to pull you the wrong way. What if the woman had listened to the crowd? Oh, we're just going to touch him and he's my buddy. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus isn't your buddy. He's not an equal to you. When Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and Moses and Elijah came down and met with Jesus, what did Peter say? He said, it's good for us to be here, Lord. We're going to build three tabernacles. Let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I'll be honest with you, if I was one of them other guys, I'd probably smack Peter. That's stupid. That's blasphemous. To say that Jesus is on the same plane as Moses and Elijah, that's what a lot of the false religions believe. That he's no better than a prophet. I want to tell you something. He created the prophets. He's the one that gave the prophets their message. He's not equal to those prophets. He's the God of the prophets.
Amen.
He's the creator of all things.
Amen.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
This woman knew something special. And when she approached Jesus, it wasn't just for a buddy. She wasn't looking for a pat on the back or a pat on the head. She wasn't looking for a hug. She needed something significant. And because she approached him in faith, believing, she got it. That's how we approach Jesus. That's the proper way. What happened? Look at what it says in verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. That's what we need to do. Fall down before him. Worship and adore him. That's the only proper position for worship anyway, if you follow the scriptures.
That's right.
Is falling before him.
and tell him the truth. Don't try to water it down. Don't try to mix it up. Be honest with him. He knows what's in your heart anyway. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's all about Jesus. Let me ask you this. Who do you think Jesus is to you? If he was in the building today, would you just come and pat him on the shoulder or shake his hand, or would you fall down before him? See, a lot of us don't depend on who you believe he is. See, he's the only hope you got going to heaven. Not a person going to be in heaven without putting their trust in Jesus. Oh, the Old Testament prophets are going to be there. They're going to be there, and the Old Testament people that got saved, they're going to be there because they believed in God's Messiah, that he was coming. They put their faith in the coming Messiah. Just like we look back and we call his name by Jesus. We know that God sent his Messiah. Jesus is the only one that's going to get you to heaven. And that lake of fire is a real place. That's what we were talking to the people at the projects yesterday. I tell them, I give them a tract and say, that'll tell you how to get to heaven. There really is a place called the lake of fire. The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Where are you going to spend eternity? If you go to heaven, it's only going to be because of Jesus. Not because of your baptism, not because of your church membership, not because of good works, not because of anything or anybody, not because my mom or dad were saved or my daddy was a preacher or whatever. It's not going to get you there. The only thing that's going to get you to heaven is you personally, just like this woman, touching Jesus through faith. And at that moment, that saving virtue goes out of him and comes into you, just like the healing virtue went into the woman. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, we thank you for this blessed story, this woman, a whole lot different than the rest of the crowd, even had more faith than the disciples. The disciples didn't know what was going on. Lord, I pray for you to move in a special way in our service today. Let the name of Jesus be glorified. And Lord, help each one of us to make the decision that you want us to make. If there's one here that's not saved, Lord, don't put it off. Don't help them to get it settled today. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.